this is a distribution channel for you. Instead of buying a Google ad or buying a Twitter ad and trying to get in front of admins, getting in front of community admins is not a small feat. It is not a group that is identified as community admin that you can just go and target all community admins. Like, how do you do that? So Collabland, you know, it's a two-prong. One, from one side, developers get an opportunity to get in front of communities that they want to serve. We want to encourage that. We believe in crypto community space and we want to encourage them. And from the other side of our communities, we want them to get their needs met and for them to be matched with the services that are best for them. And they're all different and they need customization. And an app marketplace is really the best way to do that.
And we are live, and we are live after long break. It's been 2-3 months since the last episode. So I'm happy to be back. So I got two things before we start. First of all, if you haven't checked the project I've been working on with my friend Tim, go to qenews.xyz. It's like community curated, noise-free source of content for people like you, people who build in Web3. So go check it out. And the second announcement I have before we start is, if you are hiring someone, whether it's engineers, QAs, PMs, or growth people, you can shoot me an email, because I've been partnering with one of the biggest job boards in Europe, and most people in Europe work in American time zones as well. So just send me an email at mac@web3talksxyz, and they will probably give you some better offer and better treatment. So this is it. And, you know, this is the end of announcements. And our today's guest is Anjali Young, co-founder and CCO of Collabland. And to me, Collabland has always been this bridge between Web3 and Web2, because it lets you check if users have your NFTs or fungible tokens. And if they do, you give them access to your Telegram or Discord. And today, Collabland is more than that, because Collabland has mini apps and some services for Web3 brands. And we are going to definitely discuss it today. But let's start from the beginning. Anjali, what made you start working on Collabland?
First off, thank you so much, Mac, for having me. I really appreciate it. This is very exciting. It's always exciting for me to talk about Collabland. So I don't get to in my usual regular life all the time. We talked a little bit before we got started about what it takes to be working in Web3. It means you're always working in Web3. So taking this time out to just chat about this, it's one of my favorite things. Okay, so the first question is, what made us start working on Collabland? Well, before we get to that, I can give you a little bit of background of where we were. It was actually, we started off as a social recovery contract wallet back in 2018. That was Abridged. Abridged is our corporation. Collabland is one of our products. And so we started with a social recovery contract wallet, tried working on that for a couple of years from 2018 all the way until the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. In 2020, we pivoted to no-code tooling, so no-code tools. So trying to take the approach of getting individual users to come to crypto through a social recovery contract wallet, it was just too soon. You know, you heard Ledger talk about social recovery this year, and we're in 2023. So back in 2018 to 2020, people were not talking about it. There just wasn't enough to do to get a mass influx of new people that were interested in different ways to start creating wallets. I mean, you know, joining and getting wallets. It just wasn't, the fit wasn't there then. And so we pivoted to no-code tooling in January of 2020 to take the opposite approach, which is like, if we cannot get individual users to come into crypto, maybe we can go from the developer side, create no-code tooling to create dApps, crypto dApps. And then from that, you know, if we start with building the foundation, things for people to do, then maybe the users will come. the idea from the beginning was getting people here to see what we're doing, to see how exciting this world is and how it's revolutionary and such a huge unlock for so many of the traditional ways that people are oppressed or don't have access to wealth building or don't have access to status leveling. Like, our world is our world. It's created of humans and we're not perfect. And so our systems are not perfect, but a lot of them are entrenched and it's very difficult to evolve them. Even though we as human beings are beginning to evolve, it takes a long time for our structures that have been built, our institutions to evolve. And so crypto is a way to do that. So why not get as many people here as possible? So that being the mission, we moved to no code tooling and then building little toys, building little experiments using our no code tools in order to inspire people. Like, look, we built this. You can make something like this too. So we tried all different types of little toys. One of them, we came up with a tagline, which was like, voting is the new like, trying to get more Web 2 people into the space. We weren't even calling them Web 2 at this point, but getting different people into it, like everyone's liking things, social media, everyone's liking. What if we try this voting tool where it's voting is the new like? Maybe we can get people. Didn't work, but Collabland was one of those tools. We created it for the Hack Money 2020, a hackathon in May of 2020, using abridged no-code tooling, and it just took off from there. People were not interested in the no-code tooling. I mean, now we can come back to that full circle, but people were not interested in the no-code tooling, but they said, wait a minute, what is this now? What is this with Collabland? What can you do here? How does this work? Like, it really struck a nerve for a number of reasons, but I'm going to stop there and then see if you have any questions and then I can keep going. That's definitely something that I work on is trying to condense because, boy, I could keep going and I'm going to try not to right
now. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for this intro. Like, this is a pretty inspiring story because, you know, as an entrepreneur, it's very easy to just, you know, not have the courage to pivot or like to try something completely different. And, you know, from a social recovery wallet to Collabland, there's a long, long way. And this is very inspiring and also inspiring because like if, you know, you say Collabland has been a hackathon project and most hackathon projects are like you do them for fun or you do them for like some intellectual exercise probably, but very seldom they become real projects, especially projects used by millions of people. So I'm wondering, it's hackathon, you pitched Collabland, you created Collabland. So what happens next? Like, what are the early days of Collabland?
Yeah, so the early days are COVID happened, right? So this is really in the backdrop of COVID. And so we created a little DAO called the Collab 19 DAO and used Collabland within our DAO. So people that had shares of the DAO were able to join it. And the reason Collabland was something like Collabland was necessary at that time is because when you're talking about giving grants to people who are suffering from COVID, and if you think about it now, suffering from COVID, okay, maybe everyone's had it. I've had it twice. Maybe you've had it. But back in the early days of 2020, it was very scary. People were dying. People were losing their jobs. People couldn't afford a lot of different things. You know, the main caregiver in people's families were either out of jobs or injured or in hospital or something. And so when you're dealing with these sensitive topics, it's who we need to know who is a member of our DAO. And so that way we can have these more sensitive conversations. So we started using Collabland for our own DAO. And this is, again, this is 2020. So a lot of the people that were in our DAO and that we knew from DAOs, my co-founder, James, who's also my husband, he was one of the writers for the white paper for Moloch DAO. So way back in 2019. And so he knew all, you know, the DAO people. Collabland was a DAO tool, right? It's like, we could use this because how do you know if people are in the same DAO? You need to be able to check their on-chain assets in order to join in a social way. We were already doing it with voting, but now it's like in a social way. Why do you need to connect? Why do people need to connect? Yes, you have this on-chain voting, but what about connecting it to a social ID so that way people can get to know each other. Well, we needed people to get to know each other. And so that's what CollabLand did. But because we knew all the same people, that DAO community, now there are thousands of DAOs, hundreds of thousands of people in DAOs. Back then, still very early days, a lot of the same people that are here today really doing DAOs were there back then. And so they started using CollabLand. So that early adoption of CollabLand happened just from a small group. It happened from a small network. You build a product for yourself, your community, people around you, the other people, it's also solving their problem, a problem they didn't even know they had. And now they start using it. And so DAOs were really the earliest adopters because it was meant to be a DAO tool, or at least it started off as a DAO tool. Shortly after that, we have DeFi Summer. So now you have all of these people that have tokens from 2016, 2017, now creating whale communities. Now I can say, hey, if you have a million of my tokens from 2017, join my whale community. Now there's some utility for those tokens again. And now people are doing deal flow. They're talking about, you know, what's coming up, what to buy next. It's really turning into like a investment social group in a lot of ways. And so that was like the main second use case of CollabLand. And then shortly after, you have social tokens, which is really where we thought it was going. Like, again, trying not to be prescriptive, but I will tell you, our mindset back then was like, oh, social tokens are going to be where this goes. You know, FWB, Alex Mazmej had a token called Alex. We thought, oh, Post Malone had a token. It was like, oh, maybe it's going to be social tokens, and social tokens, CollabLand will work with social tokens, and then people will create communities. A creator will create a community. Mac will make a community, a Mac token. And then all of his people that listen to him or are fans of him will join it. Not thinking about NFTs as a membership at this point. NFTs just were kind of on the periphery. With Meme. Meme was another group that was using CollabLand with the Meme token, Jordan Lyle. And they were issuing pineapple points. People were using the pineapple points to buy NFTs. Like, yes, NFTs were around, but NFTs as a membership into a community was not a thought at that point. And it wasn't until spring of 2021 that Bored Ape started using CollabLand. And we're like, oh, what is this? Like, literally, what is this? Just watching and seeing what's going on and seeing that Bored Ape was able to say, okay, you bought a Bored Ape, now join, verify with CollabLand, and now you get to be with other Bored Apes. And that was really, we saw that and I said, oh, wait a second here. Like, let me start reaching out to all of the new NFTs that are joining. You know, they weren't NFT communities at this time. They were literally just 10K projects. And it was, wait a minute, I think this is something. I'm excited about it. I could imagine a lot of people getting very excited about this because collecting is a $1 billion business. People love to collect, and now you can attach collecting with membership at a time where people are locked in, shut down, stuck at home, cut off from their usual social networks. Crypto got a huge boom, you know, during COVID as well, because people were lost their jobs and had to find new streams of income. This is where you started seeing play to earn, right? With Axie Infinity, because of all of these areas that are typically tourist areas that now these workers do not have a job. And so they're looking for different ways to earn. And it was just there at the right place at the right time. You know, we had started a year ahead of that with a DAO tooling. And then again, like I said, adoption from different segments of crypto. And then we were there at the right time and a right place for NFTs. And so my job was really just pounding the pavement. I was DMing every single new NFT I saw on Twitter and saying like, hey, would you be interested? We have a tool called CollabLand. You can get everybody who just bought your NFTs. I see you just launched a product. You just launched on OpenSea, or you just launched an NFT. Like, do you want all of those people to join a group together? How about that? Do you want to give that a try? And it went really, really, you know, in the beginning, it was really trying to convince people that this is a good idea. But after like 4 or 6 weeks, everyone said, oh yeah, we're already using CollabLand. Like, mm-hmm. It's fine. We got, you know, you're good. You don't have to tell us anymore. So that was really it. It was just building for ourselves and keeping an open mind about who would come, who would use it, and being really just having deep gratitude that we were able to create something that is of value to people. And really for me, it's that we've been able to create something that allows human beings to connect and build relationship in a way that has never been done before. I mean, it's mind-blowing when I think about it. It's humbling. It's really the whole thing, which is like people now meet each other, connect, you know, they start with a transaction first, and now they build into a trust relationship. How many relationships have come out of crypto communities? You know, founders meet each other, projects launch. People move from being just an audience to now being a participant. Like, there's so much about what happens in crypto communities that really reflects the wider ethos of what we're all trying to do here. And it's just been really fantastic. So yeah, that was the early days.
Yeah, this is like, you basically summed it up. So you did my job in a sense, but one comment that I have is that it's pretty funny that we take for granted today that if you buy an NFT, there will be some group that you can join. Like, this is so obvious. Like, there's no NFT without like Telegram or Discord channel or whatever. But, you know, if you bought Axie Infinity in 2017, you probably couldn't easily meet people who also minted it. So,
well, you could. Yeah. I mean, Axie has been having a Discord server for a very long time. However, by the time Axie came to us, we solved a different problem for Axie. So Axie already had a Discord server, but how do you know who owns what? How do you know who's actually a holder of the project versus who's a troll? Collabling communities give you an opportunity to see who is actually invested, you know, who we call has skin in the game, right? Like, how do you know who has skin in the game? When Axie finally came to us, and I'm trying to think when that was, I think it was also during MCON 2021, when we had a talk with Axie, and they're just like, oh my gosh, we need help because we don't have a place to keep our holders separated from the non-holders. Can you please help us with this? So they came to us with a community that had 800,000 people in it. And it was impossible to figure it out, right? Like, how do we do this? So even communities that had formed around an asset, the Collabland unlock gave them structure and peace and an opportunity to have a deeper relationship with the people that actually were invested in their project or, you know, holders of their NFTs.
Yeah, but, you know, you... Like, as you said, like, you started with very crypto native people, right? Like, you build for your DAO, then you reach out to other DAOs, NFT projects. But after that, you became more like mass market tool. I remember that you supported NBA Top Shot, which is as mass market as it gets. Like, you don't get more, you know, mainstream. So I'm wondering, like, how have you managed to serve people who never had, it was probably their first experience with NFTs, which is like totally different set of people than you served before, right?
Absolutely. And when you think about, I mean, that is really one of the challenges and has been one of the hardest issues to deal with. Because when you have a product like Collabland, and initially you built just for yourself and your crypto native community. And then you realize you're really the front door of crypto for millions of people during a bull market that are not really, don't know much about it, don't understand MetaMask, don't understand OpenSea, don't understand blockchain, send you their seed phrase in support tickets. Like, it is literally like whiplash trying to manage all of that. But it really comes back to like core principles, which is what are we doing here and why are we here and what is the North Star? And truly the North Star for Collabland, and I think should be the North Star for all of us, is to be inclusive and welcoming and bring as many people into the space and educate them about the space as possible. So it doesn't become difficult in that, yes, we're dealing with questions at all different levels and demands at all different levels. We still do. We still have opposing interests from many different groups, and we have to navigate that. It was never a question of, do we choose one group over another? It's not true. It's always about being as welcoming and opening, as open as possible, and understand that people are going to join this journey where they join them, and you need to meet the user where they are. I mean, that's partially why we're on Telegram and Discord and didn't start our own platform. The whole idea is that you need to meet people where they are. It's too young. It's too new. Even now, I think, to have your own isolated platform and try to get people to join it and ask them to learn a new platform. Let's meet people where they are. Let's go to their town. Let's go to their city. Let's go to where they're most comfortable. And then just add this little element, show them the little unlock that crypto can offer to them. But yeah, like you really hit the nail on the head, Mac. Like it has been a challenge. That's definitely been true from day one. How do we manage the people that are brand new versus how do we manage the people that are going to be unhappy with us because they want us to continue building up the DAO stack? Keep building for DAOs. Why aren't you building for DAOs? You're the co-writer of the white paper for Moloch. Like, you should be giving us more DAO tools. Keep giving us more DAO tools. And in the meanwhile, we're seeing this growth happening. I don't want to call it mass adoption yet, but like the baby steps to mass adoption. And it's like, okay, hold on. We're a small team. We need to determine what we're doing. Of course, it's important for us to understand that we're a DAO tool. However, we're also going to switch that to like being a minimum viable DAO. And let's see if we can, with this minimum viable DAO tool, let's see how many people we can bring in into the ecosystem. But absolutely, that was a challenge. And when I think back to one of the first fights I had with James, I would say that was probably one of the first fights I had. This was like in the spring of 2021. Like I said, once Bored Ape started using Collabland, I was like fixated. I was like, this is it. Like, we got to do this. Like, NFTs are for people like me. He's a developer and he's a DAO maxi, like a true voting DAO nerd. And so it's like, he's like, no, I want to do this. And I was like, no, I want to do this. And that was like our first real conflict, but of course it didn't last long, but you know, cause he trusts and respects me, but that was definitely one of the early conflicts of like, how do you spend your time being a founder, having a small team? It's all resource allotment. And it's very, very difficult to decide what to do. It still is difficult deciding what to do, what to prioritize, what to take a bet on. I mean, that's one thing that founders all have in common, right? Is that we're looking into the abyss and we're saying, I'm choosing this. I might be wrong. I might be so wrong, but this is what I believe in. And this is what my gut instinct is. And this is what my data is telling me right now. And I'm going to make the best guess I can and choose this avenue. But that takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of, it's a lot of stress, but you know, we talked a little about it out of the beginning, right? Which is like, who do you trust? And that's really where it comes down to. You got to trust yourself. If you trust yourself, if you trust your co-founders, then you're already gonna, you know, you're ahead of the game. And if you don't,
yeah,
it's not a good situation.
And I'm wondering, you know, how have you made it like this transition on this like practical level? Have you simplified your product? Because I used Collabland probably around 2000, maybe late 2021. So I might not have seen this like OG DAO focused version. So I'm wondering, you know, have you made any steps in changing your product or changing the way you onboard users?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when you build a product for crypto natives, you're not even thinking about people that are not going to be able to understand it. Like, you just expect a certain level of knowledge, right? You go in with assumptions that everyone knows how to do this, because who's going to want this? It's only going to be people like me, people that already understand how to do this, how to find their token address, how to find their token IDs, how, you know, all of that, right? How to change their chains on their MetaMask or whatever it is. It's like, we expect that. But over the last 3 years, I mean, we just completed 3 years in May, the product has changed a lot. And I credit our community admins. I credit our project founders, people that have been in relationship with us, for helping us evolve that product. The product that you see today with Collabland is a much simpler product. And again, we still have challenges where we still have people that don't understand it. And so we're still constantly evolving that product to make it as more inclusive as possible. But yeah, that early version was definitely, you had to be a halfway developer to be able to figure it out. But it was fine because everybody was one, right?
Okay. And is there any particular feature that evolved the most, you know, from this like OG Collabland version to today's version?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, the original version was really just ERC-20, like, or Moloch Share, right? Like Moloch Share, ERC-20. With the inclusion of NFTs, with ERC-721, 1155s, metadata gating, right? If my ape is wearing a pink hat, I don't even remember if it has pink hats. If my World of Women has a bubble gum, you know, like being able to really get into these subgroups of these NFTs based on scarcity, rarity, traits, that's definitely been one. Complex TGRs, which is if I have 100 of this token and I have three of these NFTs, then I want to get this unlock. Staking, right? Like staking wasn't, we didn't even have the concept of staking, and having communities based on staking is one. Lending, people that have lent their NFTs, lent their tokens, how does that work? So it's definitely become a lot more sophisticated for communities themselves. And it's really guided by what do communities want? What do communities need? What is going to help communities better manage themselves and encourage engagement? People want status. Status is such an important part of just human nature. So that's a huge part of what Collabland offers, is an opportunity to give additional status to people that own certain assets or worked their way up into certain assets. Now we have so many different offerings, but we have like verifiable credentials. So if you and I are in a group together, I can give you a verifiable credential for work that you've done. And now that belongs to you and it can be cryptographically tracked. So reputation building is part of what we're working on now as well that we offer with Collabland. Yeah, I mean, so many different things, but it's really shaped itself to be a product that is a community server. Like, you know, initially it was like, do you have the token? Do you not have the token? We didn't think much about what happens once people get in, they'll figure it out. But over the years, we're like, helping community admins, serving them, you know, getting to know them, seeing the beauty of what happens within a community, and trying to help create pro-social advantageous behaviors, support those. And then also from the community side, like how do we help with engagement? How do we help them retain their members? You know, these are all challenges that come up, especially during a bear market.
So this is something I want to, you know, follow up on, because I know you made a big bet on mini apps. I almost took part in your Create a Collabland mini app workshop at TIFF Denver, but didn't make it like time wise because I had like one talk to go another place. But I know that the idea is to, you know, also create these very useful apps that you can plug in into your community. So I'm wondering if you could tell us about some examples of the apps that have already been built so that people can understand, like, what's the use case here?
Oh my God, for sure. The idea is this. So just on a high level, Collabland, you know, when we started thinking about doing this mini app marketplace, it was early fall of 2022. And it was like, wait a minute, we're already now at 40,000 communities. Our communities, there is no one thing as a crypto community. There isn't. Let's just accept that. You know, people from the outside might say crypto community like that means something. Like, oh, they all have the same token. So they're all behaving the same way. No, We have gaming communities. We have NFT communities. We have DAOs. We have investment groups. We have, I mean, there's so many DeFi communities. Like, there's so many different types of communities, and CollabLand wants to serve all of them. It's not possible. We talked a little bit about resource allocation. It's not possible to do that. And so what better way to allow communities to customize their own experiences within their communities than having an app marketplace? I mean, if you think about it like yourself, your Apple phone, you know, I have a walking app, which I don't, but let's pretend I do a lot of walking. I downloaded a walking app. I downloaded a cooking app. I downloaded a tipping app, whatever it is. You have an Apple phone and you don't have those same apps. Apple is not saying we're going to create everything for everybody. It's impossible. For all the different people that have a phone, all the different people have different needs. And so in the same way, our communities also have different needs. So how do we serve them best? Well, this is the way. We have a mini app marketplace. We include apps, then the community gets to decide. One click install, just one button. If you have the CollabLand bot already installed, you can just choose how to decide what you want to be a part of your CollabLand bot. Like, for a small team that has no interest in maybe growing to 1,000 people immediately, and even then, how do you really do that? And why would you do that? Because the beauty of blockchain is interoperability, all being able to work together on this public database together. Like, in that same ethos, why not open CollabLand for everybody who's building anything that can serve community? I mean, that's really a big part of it too, which is like, we want to serve community. Do you want to serve community? Because if you want to serve community, we want to give you an opportunity to get in front of our communities, because our communities need people. If you are in this space, how else are you going to find people to use your product? It's not easy. With CollabLand, we created an entire industry, token gating. Like, unless you're creating something that is going to hit, which we all know is, how often does that happen, right? But if that doesn't matter, even if you're not, you haven't created that, and maybe you will, and maybe it is, this is a distribution channel for you. Instead of buying a Google ad or buying a Twitter ad and trying to get in front of admins, getting in front of community admins is not a small feat. It is not a group that is identified as community admin that you can just go and target all community admins. Like, how do you do that? So CollabLand, you know, it's a two-prong. One, from one side, developers get an opportunity to get in front of communities that they want to serve. We want to encourage that. We believe in crypto community space and we want to encourage them. And from the other side of our communities, we want them to get their needs met, and for them to be matched with the services that are best for them. And they're all different and they need customization. And an app marketplace is really the best way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of apps can these communities install?
Yes, of course. So you mentioned the ETH Denver hackathon, right? So our winner of our ETH Denver hackathon was a project called Spark AI. So now, one of the problems that our communities face is onboarding and support questions. You join a group in the middle of the night for you or for US time, that admins are not there, the mods are not there. You have questions. Who's going to answer them? So with Spark AI, you can one-click install Spark AI. You feed Spark AI all of your particular documentation. And then anyone that comes into that group is going to be able to do a slash command, ask questions, and it just works the same way as ChatGPT. But it is for specifically for your docs, for your community. So that's one of the apps that you can use. Another one, like I mentioned, is called Kudos with verifiable credentials. So we can send each other verifiable credentials within the community. We also have a PoApp integration where if you have a town hall, if you have any kind of activity happening within your community and you want your community to be able to redeem PoApps, you can do it directly through Discord. So that's another one. We have a security, it's called Chain Patrol. We have a security mini app. And so you're able to like report scam links. So that way people in your community can know about them. And there's actually a general database. So they're collecting all of the scam links. We have a few more coming up. We have a allow list mini app coming out. We have a, I don't know if you've heard of Huddle, but they're like a decentralized Zoom. They're doing a mini app and they're going to be coming out. So really anything that's interesting and important or useful for communities, we're interested in having those mini apps in the Collabland marketplace. And I think it's fantastic because we have snapshot integration. Not everyone's going to need that, right? Like maybe a gaming community wouldn't want one, but a DAO would want one. So it's like being able to customize your story for your members, I think is super important. And that's just a small example of some of the ones that are out there.
And does it mean that everything happens on this Discord or Telegram? So like I have an app, so people don't need to go outside, but with Huddle, I think like by definition, you need to like connect, you know, just like on Zoom. So do you just have this video call via Discord or how it's going to happen?
You'll have to come to our demo day that we're doing with Huddle on August 25th. I'm not 100% educated on every single new app that's coming up, so I'm sorry about that. But you'll be able to initiate Huddles for sure. I'm not sure if you're actually going to be doing Huddles, but let's say you want to have a Huddle for just your community. You'll be able to announce it, have it part of your calendar, have people join it directly from your Discord server. So not having to go outside to initiate, you may have to go outside, and I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure, but because they've already made it and it's in production or it's in QA, but I haven't looked at it. But you'll definitely be able to initiate that like event from your Discord.
Okay. And, you know, I know that you primarily bet on Discord and Telegram. And, you know, I find it interesting in general because both Telegram and Discord are bot-powered social networks. So like compared to like Facebook or Reddit, they are very open for third parties app. That's why Collabland can exist and all these mini apps can exist. But I'm wondering, what's your plan if, you know, some Web3 native networks like Farcaster or Lens get more popular? Do you plan to integrate with them as well? Or do you want to stay with Discord and Telegram for now?
Well, we started with Telegram. Telegram was the initial use for Collabland. We only moved to Discord. People were asking for more complexity on Telegram. And James, my co-founder, has a relationship with Jason Citron from Discord. They used to work in gaming together for years. And so when he said like, oh, can I bring Collabland to Discord? Is that okay? Crypto, you know, this is a crypto project. Will you shut us down? You know, this is before any crypto projects were on Discord. And so it's like, is this okay? Can we do this? And then his response was, yes, of course. Like if I wasn't doing gaming, I'd be doing crypto. And so we've been having the support of Discord this entire time. In terms of if other projects become popular, I think there's always going to be room for everybody. I mean, we think bigger. Like we now have token gated websites. So you don't have to just be on Discord or Telegram. You can build your own token gated website using login with Collabland. So it's not necessarily a sticking with Discord and Telegram. Of course, Discord and Telegram have done an amazing job. They've spent billions of dollars perfecting their chat platforms. Like that's not something that we are interested in doing. That's not where our core competency lies or even what we have a passion for building. So we're very excited about and very happy with the support that we get from Telegram and Discord. But crypto communities in general are going to keep growing. So Reddit, we actually have a Reddit integration, and then they had some challenges around their APIs. And so that was put on pause for a little bit while they work out some of their API situation going on, but we have a relationship with them. But again, token-gated websites, I think, is where it's going to be going. Yes, there will be a place where people meet, and there are going to be places people meet all over the web. It's going to happen everywhere. Like every community, I believe, is ultimately going to have a token. You know, we come from the creator economy, and we're having the creator economy that started in Web 2 meeting the ownership economy, which we have in Web 3. And together, it's going to merge in what I like to call the cooperative economy. And so that this evolution, maturation of the internet, where we're bringing in this ownership economy to the creators, everyone's going to have a token. Everyone's going to have skin in the game here. And so Lens, Farcaster, yes, everybody. Like, I expect everyone to be doing it. So for CollabLens, we're also going to be supporting maybe on a different level, you know, because like I said, for us, it's more like bringing people in. So I don't know, I don't imagine a scenario where we would ever have our own network or our own platform. I don't think so. So with Lens and Farcaster, you know, that's what they're doing, which I think is amazing what they're doing. Of course, we all need to be building and we all need to be bringing people as much as possible. But I think there's enough room. We still have a teeny tiny percentage of all the people on the internet that even know about crypto. It is much too early to be thinking about what if they do this and what if they do that. Let everyone do everything. Please, everyone do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of you kind of like MoonPay for like, just like MoonPay lets you on ramp to crypto, like it can convert your fiat money to crypto money. You can kind of like on ramp people to this like social networks when they already bought some tokens, whether NFTs or ERC20s. So this is how I look at CollabLens. And you know, speaking of tokens, I know that you released your token. And you did that, I would say, late in a sense, like not late for CollabLens, but late for the market. I mean, like you haven't done that in like the height of bull market when people were, you know, just like releasing tokens for many different reasons. Not all of them were very honest, I would say.
That's definitely not what we were about and what we are about. The collab token is a community token. And we are not in this to pump and dump a token. There's no speculation around the token. We're believers that you have a token when you need a token. A token is for coordination. And it wasn't until we decided to move forward with the marketplace and having a mini app marketplace that we then needed a token. Because how do you curate that marketplace through a DAO? Members have to vote. Admins have to vote. The people that are using our service should get to decide what type of apps are in the mini app marketplace. The end. Curation. And then also the developers that we're asking to build with us. Like, what value can we share with them? So it's a community token, regardless of the market, regardless of if it's the bull market or the bear market, you release a token and you have a token and you launch a token when you need a token, where there's a purpose for the token. And when you are not, the focus of your token is not to dump it on retail, to have people speculate on it. When that's not the purpose, then it makes it easy. You launch the token when you need to launch the token for coordination. And that's what we did.
I would even comment that like what you did, as far as I remember, is that you also did an airdrop for like the most active communities to kind of like, you know, back the things that you said, that you really wanted to make it about governance, about, you know, organizing how the CollabLens is going to work, not about, I don't know, as you said, dumping on retail or whatever.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose. And really, even the rewarding the top 100 communities is really to say thank you for using CollabLens, for being believing in CollabLens. But again, we did not sell any token. This was not a money generating event. We actually paid the gas for everybody to collect the token. So anyone who went and claimed the collab token didn't even pay gas for it. We paid the gas for it. So this was not a money generating token. And it wasn't pre-sold to any specific group that then sold it on the first day, you know, bought it for 5 cents and sold it for 10 cents. That's not what the purpose of the token is. The purpose of the token was a coordination token. But in relationship with that, it was also a thank you. And so for our communities who are struggling during a bear market, who are having trouble with having engagement in the bear market, a collab token was given based on proposals. They all wrote proposals, and the proposals had to include their plan for how they were going to use CollabLens token. There was a public comment period where the members of their communities could come in and weigh in on their proposals. Not all of them passed. Not all of them were accepted, but about 51 of them were accepted out of the 100, and they got token. And it was the proposals that passed were the ones that were rewarding engagement to their members or using those tokens in order to build up what they're already doing within their organization. Like, how can we help them survive during this time? So of course, we're very aware that we're launching a token in a bear market. However, how can we help others to sustain themselves during this time and bring some excitement into the space for our communities, help our communities that are struggling right now? And it's been really gratifying to see, Mac. It really, truly has. I see it on Twitter all the time. You know, do this quest or this activity or join this contest and earn some collab token. Seeing collab token being used to reward engagement, like, this is the way. This is the reason for it. And it's been great. So would that have been possible during the bull market?
No way.
Like, would people even be paying attention during the bull market? Like, let's, even though it's not the bull market anymore, there are fewer people in the space and we are able to get a little bit more attention. So, I don't have any regrets.
Yeah. I'm also very happy that you launched it in bear market because, as you said, like, in the bull market, what would happen, some people would do like 100x leverage and just like, you know, pump it, then dump it, and like, it would totally lose any sense. And, you know, speaking of numbers, I'm wondering, you know, what kind of metrics do you follow in Collabland?
Yeah, I mean, it's I wish I had been prepared them. I would have brought you some graphs, but every Friday we do an in-depth look at all of our metrics, which is what are the tokens that people are creating community on? What are the chains that people are creating community on? How many new roles got added this week? How many roles got deleted this week? How many people pushed the let's go button and joined a community this week? How many new wallets are we seeing this week? And actually that was the, you know, right before I came to this meeting, I had a meeting with my media team, right? We have a media team within our Collabland Discord, and we share a little bit of alpha on Friday that we're going to be sharing the following week. So I'm going to share that with you, which is 4,000 new wallets join Collabland every single day. 4,000 new wallets. And I told my media team, I said, look, this is not financial advice, but this is something. I'm saying it's something. It's something, right? 4,000 new wallets a day, new wallets a day joining Collabland, like, or joining a crypto community. Let's not even say Collabland, just joining a crypto community. Like, what's going on? And when I say joining a crypto community, meaning they bought an asset and now they verified with Collabland. So it's like, this is not a situation where you can bot that, you know, it's like, you have to actually, that wallet that connects with Collabland has to have a verifying asset. So it's like, there's so many steps that have to happen in order to like be a verified Collabland member. So 4,000 every day, I mean, that's huge. I don't know, you know, I was thinking of it more as like little fireworks in different places. At some point, years from now, we'll be able to make dots along the way to see if this made a line. I don't know, but that's something.
This is a very positive number. Like, I'm super surprised. I thought it's like at least 10 less. Especially right now, because like I could imagine this kind of number in the bull market, no problem.
Oh, bull market, forget about it. The numbers are crazy. I can't even tell you. But even within the last 4 months, you know, when we first tracked, it was like 3,250, and then it dipped down to about 2,000 a day. It never went below 2,000 a day. So like you were thinking you'd drop a zero, but it wasn't true. But now it's back up to 4,000 a day. So it's, there's something.
Yeah.
There's something happening.
Yeah, this is interesting because I'm wondering, you know, because I don't see these people. Like, I feel like these people are very like, fragmented. I mean, they are on Telegrams and Discords, and probably since we like Twitter is very noisy and like not everyone likes to be on Twitter. Lens is still pretty small. Forecaster is still pretty small. So it's kind of hard to see the scale and hard to see all these people in one place, right?
You can't. It's not possible. You're not seeing them all in one place. And they're buying ERC-20s and they're buying NFTs and they're buying across 25 different blockchains. We support 25 different blockchains. So how would you even be able to somehow collect all of that other than hearing it from me?
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to get that? I don't know.
Yeah.
So we do track all of that. We review all of our metrics every Friday. And it guides our decision-making, of course, about what we're going to choose to focus on next. It's good news. Yeah. I mean, we're in a bear market. Things are hard. Of course, I'm not going to lie. It's extremely difficult being a founder during a bear market. It's a very different experience than being in a bull market. And all the founders out there know that the pressures that you're under from every direction. But I do believe that you have to hold on to those little bits of light. And it really depends on what you choose to focus mm-hmm. on. And I love being able to focus on those moments because they definitely keep me going.
And I'm wondering, you know, like, what were the biggest surprising insights you had when it comes to building CollabLand? So, you know, some assumptions that you had, but they were proven totally wrong, or something that you learned that you were like, oh my God, this is how the world works.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but like social tokens, really thinking that social tokens were going to be the next big thing. For sure. For sure. Like, did not see NFTs coming. It was very fringe at that point. And social tokens really felt like this is what creators are going to love. Understanding that the next wave was going to be about creators. Yes. Knowing that art and stories are what rule the world. That's what rules the world. Art and stories. And it has from the beginning of the time. What are the stories that have survived? Our art survives. Religion survives. Because it is storytelling. And that is what we all gravitate toward. So knowing that creators were going to usher in the next phase, absolutely. But being completely wrong and not seeing that NFTs were going to be the way it was going to happen versus really truly believing that social tokens were it and talking about it all the time and that being really the main focus. And it wasn't until, and this is why I credit Bored Ape to that, using CollabLand and being like, whoa, waking us up to that. It didn't take long, but it did take an outside force to show us that. So yeah, that's definitely number one. And then also seeing our NFT communities behave in DAO-like ways. That's been a really pleasant surprise, talking about NFT communities as DAOs and seeing them all take on DAO language and using voting. And that's been super gratifying and unexpected because we're a DAO tool. NFT communities use CollabLand. Do we get to take a little bit of credit for that? I don't know. I probably not, but I'm going to, because it's like, if you start as a DAO tool and people start using it for other reasons, do they ultimately take the shape of the tool? I don't know. But seeing NFT communities take on DAO-like behaviors with voting and or either becoming DAOs, spinning off DAOs, has been super awesome and unexpected as well.
Yeah, I must admit that I was also very strong proponent of social tokens. So we were on the same boat. I was also like, oh, this is the next big thing. This is how it's going to work. Right now, I'm more like NFT maxi in a sense that I think NFTs are like a better tool for showing support, especially music NFTs. I'm a big fan. So, you know, I will try to wrap it up a little bit. Because, you know, we spoke about the beginnings, about how you made like, what, 3, 4, 5 pivots before you got here. Then you started as this very specialized tool for crypto OGs. And then you, on one hand, like, you know, there's this saying that the best products has low floor, so they are very approachable, even for people who are not too advanced, and they have high ceiling in the sense that there are many professional features that you can use the deeper you get inside the product. So I guess you are doing that because you kind of like simplified onboarding, but you're adding this mini app. So you are trying to serve these more, I would say, advanced, sophisticated needs right now. So it's been a long way. So I'm wondering.
Still a long way to go. Still a long way to go. This is still early days, if you can believe it. Even 3 years of Collabland and 5 years of Abridged, it's still early days. And I think that should inspire others to say, there's still so much for us to do here. There's so much more. There's so much more we can do, so much more places we can go. It still feels like early days. And it's really interesting to me because when people meet me at conferences or, you know, if I have a booth or if I'm speaking and I tell them like, oh, I'm Collabland, my husband and I run Collabland together, you know, stuff like that. When I share a story, they're like, what? Like, how many people? Oh, it's 16 people? Like, what? Like, you're not like 20 dudes in some basement somewhere. Like, they don't imagine that Collabland really is a group of believers, a group of people that want to open up crypto to the rest of the world. And that really is the goal, the rest of the world. And when you're looking at the rest of the world as the people you need to get to, which really sounds like a religion or a cult, so accept that for what it is, then you have so much more to go. Right. And maybe that's what keeps religions and cults going. Like, you're not saturated yet until everybody knows about it and everyone sees that it's an option and at least has some way to onboard into it. It's the work is not done. And the ability for people to work together, to come together, to collaborate together, to transact together on a global level without the friction of governments or geographical entities, barriers, like, what greater goal is there for us to be able to come together as a world? You know, I imagine being able to solve some of the world's greatest problems now that we're able to transact together. Like, that's what cryptocurrency and blockchain provides us. Like, internet provided us that first way, right? Just to be able to, like, I'm meeting you right now and we're doing a podcast. I don't know where you are. I'm in Denver, Colorado. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're sitting or anything about your geographic location, but we're still able to make this connection together where I get to see your beautiful face and I get to see, you know, talk to you and we get to have this wonderful conversation together where we get to connect in this deep way. Well, adding money into it, adding the ability to earn a living to it, to connect on that financial level where we all need money to live, like, it's just, we're growing up. Our nation state of the internet, which is really the globe, is growing up. And so what a beautiful way to be. Like, only good things are going to come out of this when we are able to meet each other and we'll be able to find the people who are interested in the things that we're interested in and work on a mission together. And for people who are passionate to find each other and work together, when that's been such a huge barrier in the past, where you have to do a wire. If I want to hire somebody in India, I have to go to my bank, then I have to initiate a wire with his bank. Like, that's, so many steps have to happen in order for two people to work together. And now we do it within seconds. So only good things are going to come out of that. And I wish for everyone to have that opportunity. So the work is not done.
Yeah. So Anjali, where can people learn more about Collabland?
Yeah, awesome question. Join our Discord. It's Collabland is our vanity. So just all one word, Collabland, C-O-L-L-A-B-L-A-N-D. Our Twitter is collab_land_. I've tried many, many times to get the Collabland Twitter. I have not been able to, and they're not even using it. But anyway, Twitter, if you hear me, or X, I should say X, if you hear me, please give it to me. collab_land_ on Twitter. Our website is collab.land. Really, those are the best ways. Our link tree is collab_land_. But again, if you follow our Twitter, you can see our link tree right there in our bio. You can join our Substack. You can watch our YouTube videos. We have so much going on. If I can do a really quick plug, we also produced a series of short documentaries about crypto communities called Let's Form Group, where we took 7 of our communities that use Collabland and shared their stories and shared their culture and shared their founder's story and where you can learn about them. It's called letsformgroup.xyz. Right now, we're hoping to get a South by Southwest panel for next year. So voting is on. But yeah, this is really just about showing off our culture and showing people what this can be. This is an opportunity to undo some of the damage that we've done together. And let's see if we can create some more opportunities for people all over the world.
Okay. So this is a very nice wrap up of our conversation. So thanks a lot for your time. And it's been a pleasure. And I'm sure that many people will at least think a little bit about your story and also your Colabland App Store, because I think it's a great opportunity, especially for solo developers that are very talented, but they don't know how to distribute their apps. And since this is pretty early when it comes to marketplace, it's even like best moment to build something for you, because
absolutely we have a wonderful DevRel director that will walk you right through it. We try to keep it as simple as possible. You know, it shouldn't hold you back if you're not an expert developer. It's really meant for people at all levels of developer ability. If you have an idea, if you want to support and encourage crypto community, then we want to support and encourage you. So get on. If you want to get on this with us, we want you. Like, let's make this a movement.
Okay, perfect. So thanks a lot. And, you know, have a nice, I guess, afternoon right now. Or, yeah, it's evening here. So have a great day and see you, I guess, somewhere on the internet.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Bye-bye.